The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Granite Rock is known for being the oldest igneous rock in the world, forming as early as 300 million years ago. The material is one of the hardest and most durable substances known to man, second only to diamonds. With this quality in mind, it's a little surprise that mankind has used granite in building some of the most impressive monuments in history, from the pyramids to the base of the Statue of Liberty. If you were building a structure that you planned on surviving a global disaster, then granite would most likely be your best bet. This consideration is perhaps what led to the construction of a mysterious stone monument that is located in the unlikely location of Elberton, Georgia, known mostly for its substantial supply of granite stone. Commissioned by a mysterious group that has remained anonymous to this very day, the megalithic monuments stand 19 feet tall and collectively weigh nearly 240,000 pounds. What mysterious instructions for the post-apocalypse are printed on these massive slabs? Why were they built? Are they a monument to guide potential human survivors to a society governed by reason? Or are they guidelines to establish a new world order? Join the theorists as they head down south and get rock hard for the Georgia Guidestones.
Welcome to
Alien
Theorist Theorizing, Case File 129, The Georgia Guidestones. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And
I'm Byron.
Boom. Look at that beard. Good eye, mate.
Andrew got voted out of third place. What?
Whoa. Emergency.
Braden?
He had to go. His planet needs
him. We've lost him already.
Braden? He's like, oh shit, he ran away.
Okay.
My computer unplugged itself and all of a sudden it was almost dead. I was like, oh, that would be great.
Oh, cool. Welcome to the show.
Enjoy the show. What's going on, Byron? What have you been up to?
Byron's back.
I've just been hiding out in the bush, growing a beard. That's about it.
He's just been growing a beard.
Sitting,
meditating, growing a beard all winter.
Yeah, if you're listening to this and not watching it, Byron's grown a pretty epic beard.
Actually, Byron's just been growing a beard and playing Apex Legends.
Yeah.
Put in an hour or two.
A couple hours here and there.
Can we, maybe we'll talk about it after the fact, but me and Byron had decided the other day that both of us play way better without you, so.
You're off the team, Zell.
You drag us down, man. You're too good, and you make us nervous when we play with you. And then we play well below our. When me and Byron play together, 6 kills each, like just dicing it up.
No, I think what happens is you get put in me and Byron's matchmaking skill, and you get destroyed because it's skill based matchmaking. So you get smashed. No, we play good. Yeah, well, we have a good squad half the time. Half the time we're good.
The other thing I wanted to talk about at the beginning, up at the start of the show here is we got a review, and normally I wouldn't heed any reviews till the end of the show. 5 stars we love, but this person, and the only reason I bring it up is because this is like the third time I've heard it. This complaint,
yeah, stupid.
First off, given our show, we're a small show, so. You hit us with a low 2-star review, hurts the show. It does. We're just a smaller show. This person wrote that in the beginning we were good, you know, we're genuine, informative. We had talking about weird conspiracies. And then they say, now we just put all of our good stuff on Patreon and leave the scraps for everyone else.
Leave the scrap. Okay.
So first off, literally everything to do with alien theories theorizing is for free. Anything we do bonus that has nothing to do with the show is on Patreon. Yeah. It's the only way for us to make money. You are not missing any. If you don't want to enjoy, if you want to enjoy the ATT free ride, good on you. But don't skewer us with a 2-star review saying that you haven't even been on. Obviously, this person hasn't been on Patreon, because then they'd realize, oh, no, there's good stuff here. But if you want the D&D, you know, Dungeons and Dragons, you want some cool 1-star reviews, you want some ATT confidentials, some other stuff, yeah, get on our Patreon. It's awesome. For as little as 2 cups of coffee a month, you can stop supporting Big Coffee, start supporting us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got to say.
Fuck Big Coffee.
Let's keep going with this grudge a little bit, because it's annoying, because Alien Theories Theorizing the Case Files is what we put all the effort into. Like all the research, 100%. The reading, all the emails and everything for the main show. It's free. It's a free show.
All the big topics that most people want us to talk about, we talk about on the main podcast.
Main show.
Like on the Patreon stuff, it's usually stuff they're like, hey, we're kind of interesting, or it's kind of a side project that like we came across researching something while we were doing the main show. And it's like, hey, this would be fun to talk about. People might want to hear a little bit more about that. And then
I would say the only thing that we have on Patreon that could have made the full show, and we didn't know when we got into it,
Gladio.
Was Gladio.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
We have a 3-parter Gladio on Patreon. Where Dan Project and
Azorian 2 is pretty good too.
Yeah. But those are ones where we didn't know. We're like, it's usually topics where we go, there's not a lot there. And there's not, you know, we just didn't think it was fit for the live show. So we do them there. But to say that we're leaving the scraps for you guys, pshaw, is what I say to you, good sir. Pshaw. How dare ye?
General fart noises in your direction.
Cup in my hand, ninja dust. Right at you.
I'm not on Patreon, and I'm the good stuff.
Yeah, we bring Byron on the main show only.
Byron's never been on Patreon. So that's maybe what they're talking about with the scraps.
No, he was on Patreon once for when we gave him the main character of a script that we didn't read.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Anyways, never again.
All right.
It's annoying. If you can just, how about just message us and you can complain to us personally rather than leaving an anonymous, unrespondable
review.
We'll
get back to you.
Yeah, we will.
There's a really good chance that we'll get back to you about your complaint, and we can direct you and be like, hey, like, what do you think you're missing?
You know what? People don't like to miss stuff. They want it for free. I understand, but at the same time, the show's free. Alien Theories Theorize, it's a free show. Fuck off with the low reviews.
If you like the show, help the show. Especially if you're just in it for the free ride, totally cool. Hit your boys up with a 5-star review. It helps us. Helps the show.
If you don't like it,
you don't even have to write a comment. You can just do a single exclamation mark.
It's true. It's 5-star exclamation mark. Thumbs up. Yeah. That's all you got to do.
Thumbs up.
Anyways, Georgia Guidestones. Let's get there.
Georgia Guidestones.
Georgia Guidestones. Let's go.
Go.
The American Stonehenge.
This is true. That's what it has, similar standing it has been stones. Titled. So if you don't know what the Georgia Guidestones are, they're a large monument, obviously located in the Georgia.
The Georgia.
It's in the name.
It's in the Georgia. Guidestones.
This large monument is constructed out of 6 huge granite slabs, which weigh a total of about 237 and 746 pounds altogether. And on this monument are inscribed a number of guiding precepts. So there are pretty much if when you read them, they're printed in multiple different languages, or what the builders had called kind of like the base languages, or what were the most like the world languages. So
most
it's like
spoken.
Russian, Yeah, spoken languages. So you had Russian, Spanish.
Swahili.
Swahili is one. Arabic. You have some of the languages they used was like Sanskrit, like Babylonian. A couple other ones. We'll get into it. We talk about it a little bit later. But these guiding precepts have been interpreted and are pretty much ways for, like, they're meant to be guiding advice for the revival of society after a major collapse.
Or like, yeah, a cataclysmic event.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like an outbreak.
Right. Ooh. Okay, now before we get into, because there's some really cool stuff about these stones. So where did they come from? All of a sudden, was it 1980? Someone wanted
started in June 1979 when a elegant, he's described as an elegant gray-haired gentleman, showed up in Elbert County, Georgia, and he made his way to the offices of Elberton Granite Finishing.
And good day, sir.
And he was wearing a monocle, according to Brady's role play. Though that's not described in the actual recount. But maybe he was wearing a monocle. Could be. I don't know. He introduced himself as one Robert C. Christian, and he claimed to represent a small group of loyal Americans who had been planning to install a large, complex stone monument.
What?
I love that so much because in my head, I picture this guy in like a dapper white suit with like a little cane, a monocle. And good day to you, sir.
He's the monocle. He's the Monopoly man.
Or Colonel Sanders.
Colonel
Sanders. My name, you ask? Well, I am Robert C. Christian. And then he double taps his staff. Huzzah!
Except this is not that long ago. It's only 40 years ago.
He's like, the guy's like, you know, he's like a granite worker. So he's like, he's probably doing some granite work. He's like, what do I want, sir? Well, I would like to make a purchase order of your finest granite stone. And I would like to erect a giant granite monument right here in the granite capital, USA, good sir. Post haste.
Yes, in case you didn't know, Elberton, Georgia, interesting fact, is the granite capital of the world.
That's crazy.
Of the world?
Of the world.
Yeah, a large percentage of their buildings, and it's home to like some of the most monuments in the United States, I believe. And most of its buildings, they have a absolute like huge amount. A very, you know, generous amount of granite. Like their quarries are huge. So they quarry up all this stone and almost everything, all of their kind of like their municipal buildings, schools, things like that are all built from granite rock.
Right.
Pretty sick.
It's pretty neat.
That's crazy. So this random guy, so he just goes by R.C. Christensen. That's no first name, no backstory.
Robert C. Christian.
No backstory. Doesn't say who he's from. He's from a small group of. He's called a loyal Americans.
Loyal Americans.
Loyal rich Americans.
I mean, you just say rich, but he says loyal.
That's gotta be a little rich just to want to build some monuments.
And so, to build this, right? He like the company that he went into. The stones that he was asking for to build this monument, the dimensions that he gave the company were bigger than anything they had ever quarried in that county before.
How big do you want the stones? How big do you have, sir? Double it.
Bigger. Well, bigger.
I already came in bigger. With a shoebox with a little wooden figurine of the, like a replica of the model. And like apparently 7 pages, if I'm
ten
right.
10 pages.
10 pages of instructions on how to build these things.
Right. There were very exacting specifications that he wanted or that the group wanted for their monument. Not only was the monument to serve as a kind of message, or like a, you could say time capsule or something like that, to guide the restructuring of a fallen society. But it was also meant to serve as a type of like astrogation tool.
Like an astronomical calendar of sorts.
Right. They said it had to track the sun's east to west migration period year round. They wanted it to, during the equinox and solstice, you were kind of supposed to be able to see if the monument was positioned in such a way so you would be able to see the sun rise through, if you stand on the west side, there's a type of mail slot that you would see the sun rise through that direct, position. Like a direct mail slot.
Yep.
During the equinox or solstice. There was also supposed to be an eye level hole drilled through the center support that would always allow the northern star Polaris to be viewed.
Yep.
through that hole in the night sky.
It's pretty cool stuff. So you got a dedicated North Star telescope through the stone. Not a telescope, but like a direct eyesight. You got the slot in the capstone, which represents noon on every day of the year. It points to the day. It's crazy.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that they wanted to do with this thing, a lot of specifications. So because they had all these kind of something that had never been done before in Elberton County, and something that was, you know, really to these exacting specifications, the president of the company, Joe Fenley, you know, I mean, how do you react to something like this? Right? Like, I mean, you have a guy coming in here, you've never met him before. You don't know where he's from. And you're just like, he just comes in there and says, I need this giant monument bigger than anything you've ever built before.
Sir, it shall be a clock and it shall find the North Star. The top stone shall be 20,000 pounds. And I want a little hole drilled so you can always see the North Star. And the slits on the side, you shall see the sunrise. Oh, and it will also measure the sun across the night sky. And you're like, all right, man. Like,
now imagine being that guy. Imagine being what was his name? The owner of the company he's talking to?
Joe Fenley?
Oh, yeah. Joe. Imagine being him and be like, all right, bud, I'll do it for, say the price is like 20, would probably be like 25,000. He's like, give me 150,000 and I'll do it.
It was 300.
Well, the estimated cost around that time, I think they said, was about $225,000.
But I know he gave a high price because he's like, I'll get rid of this motherfucker if I just give him a ridiculous price.
He quoted him about several times higher than he thought it would be. So probably was like, hey, it's going to cost like $500,000 for us to do this.
Yeah.
Like, I could see Joseph Fenley, when the guy's telling him all these specifications, I could see him just like, my head would just be tilting like degree by degree until it's all the way to like complete to the side. Like
head wrench.
What? Yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah. Like, I will build this monument in return. I want whatever you're smoking.
Yeah.
Where do you come off, sir?
So Fenley goes ahead and gives him this price. He quotes him a price, and it's several times higher than he thought it would be. So probably somewhere in the round of like $400,000 to $500,000. And so,
which is about $1.1 to $1.2 in today's time.
Yeah. Christian kind of like nods his head and just says, okay. Do you know
Good
a
day,
banker?
Sir.
He's like, do you know a banker that you trust? Is there a banker in town that you specifically trust or that you consider honest? And then he gave him the name of one of the guys in town, Wyatt Martin, who's the president of Granite City Bank. And Robert Christian says, okay, I'll be back in a little bit. And he fucks off over to, you know, so he leaves out of there. So Mr. Fenley thinks that this is the end. You know, he thinks like, okay, this guy's just gone. Weird stuff. You know, it's like, okay, we're done with that. And Mr. Christian goes ahead and shows up at Granite City Bank to go talk to Mr. Martin.
It's just outrageous.
And now he goes to build a stone and like he tries to build this monument, and Fenley's like, he pretty much makes him sign like an NDA, and he's the only one who knows the guy's real name.
No, not through Fenley. Fenley is one of the only people who met him. Wyatt Martin, the president of the bank, is the only one who actually knows his real name.
That's what it was. Right. So in order to do the transfer, because he wanted to do multiple like payments, so it couldn't be tracked. Right. So in order to do that, he said, "Okay, you got to at least tell me who you are and what you're doing." And he did, made him sign some stuff, and he's been holding on to the true identity of this man since this happened.
Yeah. So they made an agreement that. Yeah, he pretty much signed like a big old NDA. He says, you're not going to reveal any information about me or the people I work with, any stuff of that. You're going to be the sole intermediary, and I'm only going to go through you. And any documents and records related to the project, when it's finished, will be destroyed. Like that was part of the...
That was the agreement.
Know. Yeah, because... Christian specifically mentioned that he wanted to make sure that none of it could be traced.
Suspicious, to say the least. Building a random stone monument with no attachment to anything. You're building this for a guy. You don't know his real name. You don't know who he works for. You don't know what group of people he represents. You give the man a high price. He says, no problem. And then you commence to build this thing you thought was a joke.
Yeah.
And this thing is like huge. Each of the upright stones is 16 feet tall, 4 inches. Its overall height is 19 foot three. The capstone on top weighs 24,000 pounds. The outer stones are 42,000 pounds each. Like this thing is huge.
It's a beast.
It's big. It's not big in terms of megalithic building, though, if you go back to ancient sites, but it is huge for modern day, like single slab granite construction. Like it's unheard of, really. Yeah, it's.
I would like to get into, I wonder if the measurements of like each of the pillars has any, because I know we talk about like the measurements hidden in the pyramids and stuff. I wonder if they're like, those measurements are something if you were to look into some, you know what I mean? Have some hidden.
Like it's got like the golden ratio or something built into the dimensions of it.
Yeah, just because of how, you know, how precise everything else is. Like it also noon every there's a hole in the top that the sun hits noon every day, shines through this hole.
Yeah.
Right. And Fenley actually included that, you know, the idea of having to do that in his price. Like he planned that he had to retain the services. He actually did have to retain the services of an astronomer from the University of Georgia to help him with the design. To figure out like how all that would work. Like, where do we need to drill the hole? How do we need to position the monument so perfectly. It would meet all of those specifications that were given to us?
Yeah, I don't think like to do the calculations of where you would need to put it, not the hard thing, but to get it right on the first try as you stood the stone would be hard. Like,
what's the thing? Can you imagine setting it up and then, you know, you're 3 days in, all of a sudden noon doesn't work out. You're like, fuck. Or you waited a year. And the solstice comes around and doesn't line up. Well, tear it down, boys, and start again. We're fucked up.
Knock it over a little bit.
Well, and just seeing how many people had to work on this to get it right gives me such appreciation for like Chichen Itza, and because back then it was like you were literally waiting for the next year to be like, does this line up? Yeah. Oh, it does. Okay. Continue.
Good job.
Continue construction, everyone.
Yeah. Well, Chichen Itza is like a one in a, like the only one in the world that does like that, the serpent down the stairs on the solstice, which is
still
unbelievable. Crazy.
Right. So just to see the work that goes into this.
Yeah. As far as modern, like megalithic construction, this and like, we haven't talked about it yet. Like the Coral Castle are the only two like real ones that we know about. As far as giant stones, but the Coral Castle is even different because he did it by himself, but that's a whole nother story.
Yeah. The craziest thing about this that I find intriguing is that it is absolutely a secret. Like on this podcast, we have no idea where the money came from and who, you know, really actually commissioned them
it's
to build
a
it.
Legit conspiracy where it's a conspiracy of, you could just speculate on where it came from. It's a like a great conspiracy theory. Mysterious man, fake name.
People have investigated it. Nothing.
There's a couple claims we'll get into, but with no real evidence. It's like, it was him because he lived close. And you're like, all right, whatever. Now, not only did they build this precise, like astronomical kind of calendar, but they also, in the like, the list of requirements to build this thing, he had a list of, you could say, like a new 10 commandments to be etched in all these, in English, Spanish, Swahili, Hindi, Hebrew, Arabic, traditional Chinese, and Russian. Now, traditional Chinese, because they speak, it's Mandarin and...
It's probably a Mandarin. That's probably, that's the most widely spoken.
Because Mandarin and...
Cantonese is spoken in Hong Kong, and then Mandarin is the most prolific, I suppose.
Right. So, okay. So those eight languages. And so let's go through. Because this is
well,
where...
It says, and it says, like, one of the engravings says, let these guidestones... let these be guidestones to an age of reason. And it's meant to, like, in the case of this cataclysmic event, these are 10 principles or commandments to follow to have a thriving civilization.
Yeah. And now at, and that's what it says at the top of the, it says that in Babylonian, classical Greek, Sanskrit, and ancient Egyptian. So dead languages.
Right. Egyptian hieroglyphics.
Hieroglyphs. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So it says that above our eight most common spoken
that's
languages.
It's like on the capstone or in the top, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let these be guidestones to an age of reason. So is this like something you like stumble across when you're playing Skyrim? You find this monument and it has all these fucking inscriptions and you got to go search the world for the meaning.
Try and decipher it.
But the main, the main thing for this is the 10 commandments, you could say. There's 10.
Right.
10 inscriptions, like 10 rules of to live by.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where a lot of the conspiracies derive from. So number one, maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. So in like 1980, what there was probably like maybe 6 billion people, maybe not even.
Yeah.
So you got to take,
like maybe 4.5 billion.
So you still got to take out, like you're taking out 80%. That's 80% of the population gone. So that's where we'll get to the theories at the end, but that's where you go with the.
Well, why don't we talk about each one as we go through?
Because we'll be here forever.
Because <There's 10. laughs> because a couple of them go hand in hand with each other.
Okay.
So, guide number two: guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. So, kind of seems a little what's the term? Eugenics, population control. A lot of people. So those two kind of go hand in hand with a. Like a new world order conspiracy, right? Depopulation, control of the earth, blah, blah, blah. Number three, unite humanity with a living new language.
It's like one language to rule them all.
Now, you could argue that one language to rule them all, as Byron so eloquently put it, could be either like the digital age, like we're living in now, like computer code. Or just the internet itself, like a joining force of humanity. But we can talk about that after. Number four.
We talking emojis?
Yeah. Just, that's our, yeah, that's pretty much how lead people speak, are talking now.
Lead speak is the new one world language.
Number four. Rule passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. Doesn't seem that one's like, well, you know. It's
that seems reasonable.
Tempered reason. Like, that sounds like a good idea.
That sounds like a good idea.
Number five, protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. Also sounds like what we do most of the time, but you know, we don't, our systems are not perfect, but we're trying. So that one doesn't sound so bad either. Number six, let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court.
Yeah,
for that. So now we're saying like a, because they must have a world court right now. What are they called?
Do have one?
This is it called the world court?
It's like the ICC,
like so, like for foreign affairs and like inter.
Well, like if there's a dispute between countries, it's usually resolved in like the ICC.
It's like some type of branch of the United Nations or something.
Kind of
same, but different. Maybe not affiliated.
You kind of have to be signed into like the international court. It's still like the international. I don't know. It's technically almost kind of. It's almost kind of ornamental. Like it just like you might be able to bring down sanctions on a different country, but really if a country says, hey, fuck off, like there's nothing really the international court can really do.
Right.
You know?
So it's like a little mediator kind of thing.
kind of, I mean, it's just like, yeah, okay. Like you can bring it to court and then like you have international lawyers that can come in and say stuff. And then the court can rule like, well, this country's right. And then the other country can still say, but yeah, but we're our own country. So kind of fuck you guys. Like, so
stop whatever. It.
Yeah. So we don't really care what the ruling is. So maybe the rest of the world will see that country as wrong if the, you know, whatever. It's all optics. It's all that kind of shit, I guess.
Right. Okay. And now let's keep going. Number 7, avoid petty laws and useless officials. I agree. Petty laws, useless officials. You could probably downsize a government by a lot and still be just as efficient, but that's a whole other topic. Number 8, balance personal rights with social duties. I don't really understand. Like, you can only have so much personal duty. Right. You have to do your...
That's not a duty.
I think it's input into the party. Yeah, in order.
What it's
in
saying
order
to, is, don't poop on company time.
Yeah. Wait, what?
No. You got to punch. You got to punch out for your poops.
Yeah. Punch out to punch it out.
I think the whole point of that is to balance personal rights with social duties. Does that mean that if you want to live in a society, a productive society, you do have to give up some personal rights? Not give up, but you have to balance those personal rights with social duties.
You gotta live within an agreed upon.
Yeah. Everybody can't framework. Just do what the fuck they want.
I agree.
If you want to work together in a productive society and get somewhere, you kind of have to balance the your personal rights. You can't just be like, you can't just walk over and take my shit just because we live in the same town. You got at least ask.
Yeah, if you look at it that way, it makes sense. But you could also look at it a way like social duties. Like you could go like Orwellians. What are you doing over there?
That's what I'm laughing
at. Dude, are you fucking eating?
He's just chomping away.
He's eating something off the screen.
I told him too. I asked him before the podcast. I'm like, you gonna fucking eat those chips the whole time? And he's been eating them the whole time. What are they?
He just
are
they keeps
that
good? Crunching.
Are they that good that you need to eat them right now?
He keeps sliding
that
over.
Good.
Keep sliding over and comes up with something.
Are they apple chips? What are those?
Nothing. I didn't eat anything. You guys are high.
Bullshit.
I'm actually not high. I'm not stoned today at all. I'm not high at all today. Imagine that. Not at all. Not even a little bit.
Shit.
I'm happy.
He's looking at him. He's looking at him right now.
He's going back for more.
He's going to get it. Look at him.
Fucking, apple
chip junkie over here. I don't know what they are, but it's fucking...
It doesn't matter.
Let's be good.
At least he's not crunching the block on guy picks.
Yeah, he's not crunching. He's eating very, very cautiously.
I had one bite just now. I haven't been eating the whole time. That's a lie. Second. That's a bold-faced lie, and I dispute that.
If you've been eating the whole time, I would have said something. This is the first time I noticed you fucking pulling over to the
second
side.
Time.
Yeah.
I was reading something.
Well, the first time I leaned over, and I just gave him a...
How you doing? Yo, how you doing?
But then I went, I was like, ooh...
Zell's distracted. I can eat.
Sorry. No more. That's what I thought. That's what I was like, waiting for someone else to get zoomed in on. And I was like, oh, let's lean. Wait for it.
Now I'm just going to help myself. Now I'm going to be watching him to zoom in every time you move off the screen. Just boom. Back to Braden.
Get him.
Hey, what was I talking about? Social
Number
duties.
7?
Yeah.
Oh, I lost my train of thought. It probably had something to do with like.
You said something about Orwellian.
Oh yeah, like you could be like your social duties. You're like your duties to the party. You got, you know, that gets a little it gets a little crazy there. We'll talk about that later. Number 9, prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite. Feels like I'm in yoga class.
Yeah. Namaste.
Yeah. Namaste.
Namaste.
Probably do some yoga would be a bad one. Be like, just do some yoga.
You know, everyone probably should do 20 minutes of yoga a day. It'd help everyone a little bit.
Yeah.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences.
Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Is your vehicle stopping like it should? Does it squeal or grind when you brake? Don't miss out on summer brake deals at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite. Doesn't seem, that seems like a good motto, actually. Number 10, be not a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature. Had to say it twice. It's actually inscribed twice on the stone.
I like that though.
Leave
like
room
that.
For nature.
Totally down for that.
Leave room for nature, man.
Leave room. That makes sense. So those 10 things are inscribed in 8 languages.
Right. On the biggest slabs.
On the biggest slabs, on the tall
Here's
slabs.
My first issue with this group of loyal Americans.
Issue number one.
I guess they're... I guess what they're thinking is that everyone's going to speak English or one of these language at a cataclysmic event, and that these stones are not happened upon. Because if there's a cataclysmic event, and then, you know, thousands of years, hundreds of years, whatever, some remnants of humanity come over and see these things, are they, one, going to know how to read them? Two, are they going to know in context what the fuck they're talking about? Like, are they going to be like, just quartz? What the hell is just quartz? Right? Like, this is a very specific, like, there needs to be people alive and near Georgia and near these stones. And then these people have to be like, these stones are truth.
Well, if
this is our new God. Praise be the stones.
Well, if you think about it, if there was a cataclysm, say like there was like a big coronal mass ejection or some like an asteroid or something, and 95% of the Earth went population was wiped out in a short period of time. Either mostly, initially probably not that many from the impact or whatever, but then shortly after from starvation or whatever, because the economy would collapse pretty much instantly. But if there's only 10% of Americans left, that's still 30 million Americans. The way of the American culture is not just going to evaporate over a couple hundred years. Like we'll still have, like right now we have more written history than on any time in human history, right? Like there's not just like a library of Alexandria where if it goes down, 80% of the like history of the area is gone.
Well, if the internet went down right now, gone for good, how much information would we lose? Dude, that's gone forever.
There's 55,000 books in the regional library just here in Kelowna. So like that's every topic you could think of.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe now will there be people alive who can understand like all the engineering and you know all that stuff? Maybe not. But the books are there.
Here's my second question.
Why
Georgia?
Yeah, why Georgia actually? I guess that's...
Because I'm like... I thought maybe the Mile High, maybe this in Denver, Mile High City, right? Big flood, cataclysmic event, whatever. It's a mile up. But like Georgia, like to me, I was just, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe, you know, that's why I'm not a highfalutin granite purchaser.
Well, I think that's the thing.
Well, they were positioned on a hill where it's away from all those flood damage, hurricanes, asteroids.
Nothing gets away from an asteroid.
It's away from the asteroids in Jordan. Even the asteroids don't want to go there.
This place is 750 feet above sea level, so like it would take a pretty massive flood to get it.
Yeah, I think the main draw to building it there was because it is the granite capital of the world. Like if you want to build a monument to last, you build it out of granite. You build it out
or
of
maybe
solid
there's
stone.
Just good resources too there, right? Like.
If they wanted these giant, huge slabs, like just to get those and then like ship them somewhere else. But I get what you're saying. Like Brayden's point also kind of begs the question, like why only build one? Yeah. Why not build more than one?
You should almost build one in like every country that that language was spoken or something.
Right. Or if you, even if you're American, why not build it in different states? Like at least build a couple in different states, because I mean, unless you have some sort of like, you know, divination or something, like, you know exactly when the apocalypse is going to come and where it's going to go. And even then, like building a Georgia doesn't make any sense. Cause why? But
is Georgia a very populated state?
I mean, it has a lot of people there. I mean, there's a lot
Atlanta,
of
I guess stuff. Atlanta's the big city.
Yeah. Atlanta's the big city. And it's got I don't know why, because it has one of the largest aquariums of the world. I don't know. It could be anything.
Isn't one of the busiest airports too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is a huge airport hub.
Okay. All right. Again, so
maybe they blew their
even
budget.
That place is not, it's not super great because there's a lot of factors depending on what kind of cataclysm you're talking about. Georgia could be completely uninhabitable. You don't know. The CDC is CDC headquarters is located in Atlanta.
Right.
So if there was some sort of horrible outbreak of like crazy diseases, like and for some reason why it would be at the CDC, I don't know why, because if anybody's read the Andromeda Strain, like spoilers, they installed a nuke inside of it. And so if something were to break out, they're supposed to punch a big red button and set off a nuke in the middle of, that facility was like in the middle of nowhere.
That's not real. Well, that's a TV. That's a show.
That's a book.
Yeah, but that's not.
I've seen the show about it too. It's good.
It is also a movie. But yeah, but like even if the CDC had some sort of facility where they're like, we've got an armed nuke down here and we set it off. Like, why would you want to rebuild society right outside of there? What is it like 100? It's like 100 miles from Atlanta. Like, it doesn't make sense logistically to me. I don't.
Right.
I think the granite thing makes a good amount of sense to be like, well, we don't want to ship, you know, these huge stones, solid stone slabs of granite to Colorado and then have to build it there. Be cheaper just to do it here.
Right.
They blew the budget.
Yeah.
On the stones themselves.
One and done.
Now,
the bean counters were like, no, you can't do that. Like, it's going to be better if you just build it here.
The loyal Americans were like, ooh, I think we went a little overboard.
Yeah, we should have. We should have 1/3 scaled it.
500 million people, in perpetual balance with nature. Do you think, like, say, could we be as spread out as we are and still function with that few people?
At this current level of society, no.
No chance. 500 million.
Like, we'd have to get very way closer together.
That'd be like taking like 90% of every country's population. So in Canada, we'd have what, like a few million people. The States would have 30, you know, China would only have 80 or 100 instead of 1 point, whatever. India.
Australia would have 3 people.
Yes. Yeah, Australia would have just, barely anybody. So yeah, that couldn't work. I don't think not as like a global trade market. You could still function, like societies would still function. No problem. I think we'd lose a lot of like our modern luxuries, like a lot of the food probably we eat. Like, you're not all of a sudden not getting avocados up in Canada. Yeah,
I don't know how you would maintain like a global society of only 500 million people. Like, I don't
now,
know.
Now, would
how
you have
do
to
that.
Be more of like a closer, like 500 million? Like, do you think we would have to move into some sort of like more like sharing community kind of?
It would probably have to be a change of system. A little bit. I mean, there's always been trade in like monetary value, but
anything that says maintain, like that's a really like strict kind of qualifier. I think like maintain humanity. So that means some sort of active that you're taking some sort of active measure
to
keep humanity under 500 million. So what that active measure is and what those active measures are.
Two kids, then the snip.
Could wildly vary between, you know, your one child policy, like, you know, early
forced,
you know,
one child
a few decades ago, to like, some Logan's Run bullshit where it's like everybody, once you hit 30, we execute you and then you get recycled. Ooh. Or some shit like that.
Recycled. Like, now on the 500 million though.
I don't know.
Like, I'm going to say. Dude, I was 35? So useless. I've been so useless as a human being up until like just a few years ago that you would have got, you know, just such a, I would have just drained so many resources for the like the little that I put back in to this point.
I can't remember the age of Logan's run. I think it's like 25. It might be 25.
Like, yeah.
That's even worse.
That's worse. I was a fucking moron at 25. I didn't know nothing. I didn't know anything.
It's 30. I'm sorry. It's 30. It is 30.
Even 30. I just turned 30. Like, I'm only a couple of years from turning 30, and I'm still not that smart. Like, you can't get your best out of society if you can't hit that magic 10,000 hours to be a professional in something.
But again, maybe you don't want the best.
Maybe you don't. It's true. If you're a ruling elite, you don't want people to become super intelligent.
Wouldn't having a ruling, like, that's a thing. Like, so say people say this is some New World Order stuff that they've posted this, but I'm like, some of those commandments that they want people to live by in this new world, like, are not very, like, elite class stuff.
What do you mean?
You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, well, I find a lot of this to be kind of hippy dippy outside of the population control of like avoid petty laws. Like, it's just like, you know, balance personal rights and social duties. It just seems to me like it's everyone got to pull their share kind of thing, where it's like, it's not like allow the strong to rule. It just, for some New World Order stuff, you would just think it would have some more negative connotations.
Right. Maybe.
Right. I just think of like the murals at the Denver airport that are also tied to like New World Order. And you see like mass killings and stuff like that of like,
it looks like genocide. And, yeah.
Like genocide and stuff like that. And I'm like, because I'm like, at the end of the day, if the New World Order, this is their plan to population control and kill everyone, well, aren't they living the high life right now, making all the money, doing whatever they want? This seems counterintuitive to me to then be like, you know what, everybody, let's get rid of this all. Because if you get rid of all that, then you also lose your power. So it doesn't seem like, I think you'd want things to stay exactly how they are right now.
Yeah, we've definitely talked about that before, that if you're making ungodly sums of money off all the people on this planet enslaved, let's say if you go with like the world, like the monetary system, the rulers of the monetary system are really ruling the planet, whoever those people may be. If you were to say like, all right, we're going to get rid of 90% of our stock, our human stock, which make us all the money and give us all the luxuries, you're not going to be that ruling elite anymore. Like if you're from, say, like these ruling elite in one part of the world, and then 90% of the world's population goes down, and then that one part of the world's like, well, now we all have to survive, so we don't have to do all this stuff. The whole world changes. You lose your power. Yeah, it doesn't really make sense if you're going to be.
Yeah, because like think about it. Jeff Bezos right now is worth $150 billion. You know what I mean? It's like crazy. That's crazy. I'm like, now's the time that these rich motherfuckers are reaping like the current system, because how can you have $150 billion? Like, even if you tax that guy 50%, and I know his wife already probably took half, but tax him again 50%.
Yeah, well,
he still got $75 million, $1 billion.
And he's going to have another $75 billion in a few more years. He'll get it all back.
Like, what could you possibly need all that money for?
You couldn't spend it if you wanted to.
You got to, like, buy countries.
Yeah, and then the kind of the whole thing, if this is to the whole Georgia Guidestone thing, is to like kind of restart society. Like, if there's some kind of huge, you know, apocalyptic collapse of society, money's not going to mean shit. Like, the entire monetary system will be out the window, most likely.
Yeah, not our current digital currency. It'll go back to like physical, like gold
trade barter. You know, that kind of thing, skills, that kind of stuff. But
livestock. You know, like real value stuff.
Blacksmiths and shit. Like, that's what it's going to be really be about. Or engineering.
Carpenters will be a value again.
Yeah. Zell can make some real money.
I can make some money again. Yeah. I'll be the most sought after person.
You won't make money. You'll make favors.
I'll make food. I'll make food. I'll be well taken care of.
You have lots of goats.
Yeah, our new IOU economy.
Seven wives.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Seven wives? No, thanks. Yeah. That sounds bad. I don't know what those guys are up to, why they want so many wives, but Hard. That would be a hard job. Seven.
Yeah. I like number three is fun for me. Like number three, unite humanity with a living new language. And like Zell said, you know, perhaps it could be the internet kind of thing. But if this is after some sort of collapse, like it's like try to develop an entirely new language. Like for me as like a language teacher, like I find that fascinating. Like, okay, yeah, maybe if we all, because language is extremely important in society. It pretty much dictates how you perceive reality within your society, within the people who share, you know, that same language. You guys shape a kind of common reality with each
Busted.
Other.
Got him. Busted.
Can I zoom in?
Open it up.
Can't
open
wait.
Up, open up. Well,
they must be really good. What are open they? Up. You won't even tell wait. Us what they are.
Let me zoom
they
in. Let me zoom good. In. Let me zoom in.
No.
Can way. You see him? What do you got there?
It's over there.
What you guys got a plate? He's got a fucking, got what do you got? Plate. Chicken potatoes?
He's
got chicken potatoes.
Rice chook going on? Son of a bitch.
Let's put him back. Let's put him back. He waited for the camera to switch. Waited for the camera to switch and then went for the chicken potatoes.
Yep. I did. I tried to do it as stealth, but you guys are obviously just going to shame me, so I'll push it further away.
That's funny.
It's fine.
Anyways, lost Dan's train of thought there. What were you talking
language, like having an entire common language is something that's a very alien concept to the way we think now.
Yeah.
If you were to have a same common language, it would avoid a lot of the stuff that we kind of do today, being able to, you know, discuss and ideas and the ways that you see, you know, be able to kind of relate to each other a lot better than the way that we do now.
So you lose a lot through translation. If I'm going to talk to Dan, but Dan doesn't speak English and I got to talk through Braden, who's got to relay how I'm saying it. Like, you know, like how I'm trying to speak it is going to be different than how Braden speaks it to Dan.
So like when you guys talk to me.
Or like,
yeah. When we talk to Byron.
Just getting lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
You only get about 70% of what Byron tells you in the end.
So yeah, you lose a lot in translation. That kind of stuff kind of hinders relationships or building relationships and real actual interaction between humans sometimes. One of the things that criticisms that have been brought against the Georgia Guidestones, like there are certain groups that find the Georgia Guidestones offensive, and some of them are kind of fundamental.
No,
People find them offensive. not in today's age. Not in today's age. That sounds crazy. Yeah.
At least one group is probably could be described as like a fundamentalist Christian group. They find that that number three, having a live-in new language, they've interpreted part of the Bible in Revelations or whatever. That's one of the signs of the apocalypse. Like everybody's speaking the same language.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
Yeah. And for me, immediately when they say that, I'm like, okay, well, Catholics wrote the Bible, you know, Christians wrote the Bible, and when they wrote the Bible, it was kind of in their best interest to have everybody divided, having different languages, because the clergy was the only one who had access to reading and writing.
Yep. Makes sense.
You know, so if everything was more in different languages, that just gives the church more control. So part of me kind of thinks like, well, yeah, having one language would be kind of nice. Like, have, you know, not that everybody loses their language, because, you know, everybody's language is, for me, like, I've studied linguistics and stuff, like every language is amazing. I think they're all fucking cool. And own language has its own kind of beauty to it. But to have one common language where we are all kind of able to speak with each other and in that way and communicate effectively and, you know, completely would be great. Like, that would be a great boon to society.
Yeah. And you could, like, a lot of people make the argument, well, now English is the language of business. Even if it's not the most spoken language on earth, but because just how the world's developed, not through any of our generation's doing, well, English has become the world, like the language of trade.
Right. So, I mean, it's mostly because the U.S. was like a superpower for the last like 50 years, 50, 60 years. You know,
and everyone looked up to the States who spoke English, and they made the best TV and the best movies and the best music and everyone, and it kind of just spawned that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, like obviously languages are not going to be merged anytime soon, but one language that every country could speak in, like, if it was just like the language of trade or whatever, there's it would be beneficial.
It specifically says a new language, so I could see that kind of happening. Like if it were a completely new language.
Right.
Okay.
Like, all right. No one's got any historical ties. No one's got historical ties. It's a new language based on whatever digital. It could be like based on like a digital language, even just spoken through computers or whatever. But yeah, I agree. A new language could be beneficial in some ways.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, before we go farther, because that was a good tangent, but they have these stones. The stones with what we just talked about, the commandments and the top and the capstone and the astronomical alignments. But they also have, like, the only other stone that makes this whole thing make sense, they have a map stone beside the whole thing, which kind of describes what's going on the thing. So they have that, and they also have the time capsule stone, which says a unknown date to be unveiled. What do we know about that?
Nothing.
Yeah, there's a strange inscription on one of the stones that says it kind of gives the information, like the specifications for most of the monument, but it also has a listing for a time capsule, and it kind of says time capsule buried here, and it says to be unearthed or revealed at this time, and there's supposed to be a date here, I suppose. Like that's what it looks like, but there's no date.
No date.
And there's no record of a time capsule ever being buried there.
No. So like there's a foundation underneath the guide stones. So some people think the time capsule is buried underneath. And here I'm going to take us down a little road now too, because so there's the upright stones with the commandments or whatever you want to call them.
Language. Yep.
And on one of them, there is a little notch in the top, like the size of like a 8x8 cube. And that was always just cut there with nothing in it. And then 2014, people found randomly there was just now a stone cube put there. And the stone.
I thought somebody cut that off. I thought that was a thing that somebody, it was, that was part of the vandalism. Somebody had cut a chunk off.
Was it stolen and they got
and
arrested
then put it back.
Putting it back?
No.
It's a different one.
No. So what I found, I don't know if it's true. Maybe it's not. But there was always a perfect cut. Because this is granite, so you can't just if you're just a guy with a sawzall or something, you're not going to cut this ever. There's a cut out of one of these top stones. And in 2014, it was found it's a cube that was fit in there, and it had a bunch of numbers and letters on it on the six sides, like a dice. And some people think that these letters were some type of like codex for like uncovering the mystery of the guide stones and the end date to when it's supposed to be recovered or unearthed, like the time capsule. And then the town, like people in the town ended up taking it down, and they actually broke it into pieces and took it home. I don't know why. Jesus. They just chopped it up. Now I want to see, I fucking had this before I lost it, what the cube actually said. Let's see if I can find it real quick. Cube.
So it's now essentially a jigsaw puzzle.
It's a puzzle.
Puzzle like, got to put back together.
Exactly. So they took pictures of it. God damn it. I had this up.
So this is saying that in 2013, a person named William Jeremy Ellis was apprehended.
That's a one.
And they said that he was trying to put the cube back onto the monument.
Well, there was
and then he said he had removed it for personal personal esoteric and numerological reasons, but he decided that he wanted to put it back because he said
it was
he didn't want
down.
That weight.
Yeah.
He didn't want that weight anymore.
Okay. Well, I seen a video of them. They actually broke it into pieces. The 2014 stone. They broke it. They took it down because it wasn't there originally. They have pictures originally, and there's a perfect like a slot for this cube. Here, I think I can pull it up right here. Take a look if you're watching the live stream. So that is the cube that was put up there in that notch at the top of the 16 and a half foot stone that was cut original. It was originally there.
Okay, that would be a hell of a hard cut to make.
Because that's like an inset cut. So you're not cutting off a side of the stone. You're cutting a perfect cube into the corner of a 16 and a half foot stone. One guy. As a
and granite too, like you, granite. That you'd need some fucking tools
with that capstone on top as well.
Like rock, you can easily cut with a grinder and a diamond blade, right? that 16 feet, that's a big, you need a big grinder to cut 8 inches.
I don't know. Just as somebody in 2009 had taken it. Like I said, it was stolen. Like I said, it had been there, but somebody stole it.
So you found 2009, there was one.
Mm-hmm. That's what I saw.
Yeah. It was a cube.
It started back in 2009 when somebody stole a 6x6x6 cube of granite from the top corner of one of the stones.
Now, okay.
And then 4 years later, it was returned in 2013.
Okay. And then they destroyed it?
They didn't destroy it, but I mean, they said they said it's kind of been missing there. This is another another cube had suddenly appeared in the hole and somebody had fixed it with a bunch of numbers and letters carved onto its faces. And there was like MM, JAM, 16, 8, 20, and 14.
Yep. That's what it was. 20, 14, 16, 18, MM, and JAM on all the six sides. And right. The people actually destroyed it in 2014. They took it down and chopped it up and took it home.
Right. And then somebody named Michael Massanelli made a video explaining that he had placed the cube there to commemorate his marriage on August 16th, 2014.
So what happened?
And he happens to be a numerologist and a conspiracy buff.
So what happened? But I didn't find anything about pre-2014. There was already a cube up there. There was already a cube?
No, somebody stole it in 2009. 2009, it was gone. Somebody stole that cube.
Yeah, but I can't find any pictures of that cube then. That's what I'm saying.
So like prior 2009, you haven't found any images of it up there?
If there was a cube there, yeah. I don't. There's no images of the cube. If did it say anything? Because it's only in one of the stones is the cube. Just the one.
Yeah.
One in the corner.
It just says the one. I mean, it just says the one in 2009 was stolen. And then so since 2009, that cube has been stolen. Then somebody else claimed that they stole it. And then this other guy said that he put the cube back. So I don't know. I mean, they're just claims. So yeah, it's not, maybe they didn't steal them.
It's weird that there's a one notch in one of these pillars, one of the columns that have a notch in the corner.
There's a lot of weird stuff about these where it's like a lot, like to go through the amount of work and the amount of precision of measurements and stuff that you wanted to have in this, to me, it feels like nothing to this would be left for chance or like just whatever, just fit it in there or anything like that. Just based on how it's built. But then you get weird things like pseudonym being spelt wrong. Right. Yeah. And like a couple other things.
Yeah. That's another thing.
I wonder if it's like, cause I'm like the amount of money and precision and everything that went into this, like I always wondering if there's hidden meaning still that we have yet to uncover with it. Right. Well, especially with that cube in the corner. Like that's weird.
Yeah. That's one of the things they don't really, it's weird that they give a time capsule with no end date. It's weird that pseudonym, the guy's name, R.C. Christensen and then it says underneath a pseudonym, but it's not spelled right. So yeah. And then people get thinking like, oh, is this like some type of like codex? Is this a puzzle? Like how can we find the answer to the time? Is a time capsule buried underneath? There's no record of it. I don't know.
Yeah. And it has all the physical data written on the stones as well. The overall height in meters, feet, pounds, kilograms, all on the side of it, which again is, I'm like, what's the reason? Like, is that just to commemorate? Like, look how big this is. You're probably standing here going, how big are these stones? Well, here's the answer.
They're big stones.
Or is there some hidden meaning like in the numbers that we just don't know?
Well, like whoever and really construct, like plan this out, put some thought in. Like they didn't just we're just going to build this random statue. Like, no, it's astronomical alignments.
I heard it was 20 years in the making.
Well, that's what they said. Like, we've been working on this for 20 years. Mm-hmm. Him and his loyal Americans, whoever the fuck that may be.
The crew
working on it for 20 years. So that's when the conspiracy come in. And you're like, they've been working on it for 20 years. All right. So let's put it back to like just before 1960. Okay. Well, now that's when like one world government, new world order conspiracy starts. So maybe this is like part of the thing. But you're like, then we go to the thing like, why just one? Why here?
It's all I could afford.
There's no way that's all they could afford.
It's a pretty shitty funded New World Order.
Time capsule? What could be in it?
Yeah.
Something to restart the population after...
It's a seed bank.
Like, start the world again.
Seed bank, maybe.
You know what I think? I think it would be, if anything, it would have to be books.
No. So, it is the 11 herbs and spices for Colonel Sanders. It was him from the start. The secret
him the whole time.
Vital for the revival of society are
done.
The secret recipe for KFC.
Get me a fucking excavator. I'm in there now.
That's a very
absolutely
good,
crucial.
probably the like the secret mix to make Dr. Pepper as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because chicken and pop.
No, it's the Coke secret recipe because Coke headquarters is in Atlanta.
Is it really?
Oh
yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
You want to know why most of our population died? Drinking this recipe.
This green liquid we turned.
And it's the original one with cocaine in it.
Real cocaine. The real Coca-Cola.
The real Coca-Cola formula.
No.
Which only two people at any one time know. Only two people in the world in case one dies.
The original formula with the cocaine?
The formula for Coca-Cola, the secret formula of Coca-Cola, only two people in the world know at any one time.
So how do they make it all? Just two people make it all?
Well, it's two different companies, like two different factories bring the shit together, and one knows one half, one knows the other half.
Oh, they know the secret. Or like they have the proprietary blend, I'm sure, that they put together and then they dump into the whatever, but only one person knows how to make it. It's not like those people know what's in the mix.
Right.
So could be that's the Coke secret recipe is in there.
Puppies.
Okay, someone says my audio is getting choppy when I share my screen.
Who do we think, who's the prime suspects for commissioning this?
There's really only one
Well, no, there's a couple. The biggest one, probably the one that people kind of argue for the most or find the most intriguing, are the Order of the Rosicrucians.
Oh, that's
the orders of like the Rosy Cross.
That came from Alex Jones, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, our Alex Jones or a couple other
people. Big Babies Joe.
a couple other conspiracy theorists as well. Rosicrucians are an actual order. They are an actual kind of a religious order, and they kind of sprung up, I think, sometime around the 1600s. And they kind of were known to whether they actually existed or not is kind of still in debate, I believe. But this kind of secretive order was believed to they kind of had the same kind of people have related the precepts of the kind of whole fascination or reverence for nature that the Georgia Guidestones kind of incorporate in their precepts. They link that to the Rosicrucians. Rosicrucians were kind of big into kind of the belief that there is like an esoteric spiritual knowledge that will, the Enlightenment will link you to the workings of the universe, that kind of thing. As Braden so eloquently put, hippy dippy knowledge.
Hippy dippy bullshit.
Some of that crusty juggler nonsense.
Get out of here with your fucking man buns and your
crusty
and your Byron
jugglers.
Beards.
Crusty jugglers.
For the greater good.
I think that's the big one. For the greater good. I think that's the big one. That's the most intriguing one,
right.
I suppose. Other than them, we'll actually probably, you know, we'll have to probably do a whole case file on the Rosicrucians. There's a whole lot of stuff about them. We could probably talk about. I think the next one is next likely suspect, as people believed it was Ted Turner.
Ted Turner, Mr. CNN.
Ted Turner.
Yep. The mouth of the South, Mr. Ted Turner.
Now, why do they
colorize the moon?
Why do they think him?
Because he has a fuckload of money.
That's it.
And he lives in the area, basically.
Founded CNN. Got a lot of money. I mean, he is a billionaire, but I wouldn't say he's an eccentric billionaire. I mean, he's not like, I wouldn't even say he's on Richard Branson's level of eccentric. You know, Richard Branson is trying to send people to the moon.
Yeah.
He's trying to build, you know, starships and shit. And over here, fucking Ted Turner is giving $1 billion to the UN. Like, other than that, he's not doing anything
gave
really crazy.
$1 billion to the UN?
Yeah.
That's fucking nuts.
It's one of the largest like philanthropic like donations of all time or something like that. It's one of those kind of things. He gave $1 billion.
And donation.
It was back when the UN was about to go bankrupt at one point, like they had no money. Like he gave them $1 billion.
Tax write-off. It's a work expense.
Maybe. I don't know. At this point, like recently, within a couple of 2 years, like he's valued at $2.2 billion. I think that's his personal value.
That's not that much. That's nothing on Bezos.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's massive. If he's given half his wealth or a third of his wealth to the UN, that's
maybe that's
huge.
His personal wealth, though. I don't know what all of his like properties together.
Yeah, okay. Right.
I'm not 100% sure. I just read it was like, I think somewhere $2.2 billion is probably his personal.
$2.5 billion as of February 2020.
Okay, so that's really not
just $2.5 billion. No big deal.
Yeah, but he's not an eccentric billionaire. He's not even he's not a Howard Hughes. He's not, you know, cooping himself up in a theater like peeing in water bottles or nothing. Like, you know, see him kind of doing this stuff. But some people say he's one of the suspects because he's in the area and he has a lot of money to blow. So, you know, sometimes in 1980 he was like, "Hey, I want to figure out a way to restart society, so I'm going to put all this stuff on the Georgia Guidestones." That's a stretch.
The Ted Turner one doesn't add up. I don't think we truly know who did it. And I think they went through a lot of work to hide that.
Bury it.
And I think it still remained hidden. And I wouldn't be surprised if they've, like I said, there was so much planning to this, to the fact that there's not a date under when this time capsule can be like revealed. I'm sure that at some point, there's something out there with one of those people that has to be in their will or something,
yeah,
where it's like that will be commissioned to be put on at a, like at a another date.
Because they destroyed all the files and like the case. Yeah.
Or did they?
Well, or did they? Yeah,
it was part of the write up, is what I heard. That it was
that was the agreement
supposed to be.
The story on the internet is he hasn't done it yet.
Yeah, the president of the bank, Martin Wyatt. And like in an interview, he said that he does have a lot of the documents, maybe not all of them, but he has a lot of the documents and personal correspondence that he had with Mr. Christian. Cause even after they finished their whole business transaction, you know, they still remained in contact like for, you know, years. Right. I think the last communication that Wyatt said they had with Mr. Christian, the guy that was the intermediary, for this group, this secretive group, I think he said it was right around the time of 9/11, but the guy probably would have been about 80 about then. Like he estimated Christian probably would have been 80. So he probably could have passed away around that time.
I guess he never heard from him again. So he thought maybe he just, that's it. He's gone.
Yeah.
Right around 9/11 though.
Ooh.
New world order.
Shit.
Here we go. Deep down the rabbit hole I fall.
Right.
final thoughts on Georgia Guidestones.
Yeah. We went a little long. There's a lot of theories. I mean, the only one that may make any sense is it is a new world order. But the new world order maybe is not – it doesn't make sense if it's a new world order. They want to kill 90% of their customers. I don't know.
They also don't give a name.
Yeah.
Right? They went through so much trouble to hide their identity, which I could also see as like a positive because – really, if you built this thing and you put a name to it, you put an originator or, you know, an actual person who commissioned it, people would attach their preconceptions to that group.
Mm-hmm.
So if it were a Christian group, they'd be like, well, these are Christian rules for a Christian group.
Fuck that.
Right.
Right. So it could be a group, you know, if you keep the identity secret, then it could be just anyone. It doesn't have to be
40 years later. You could have some theorist theorizing about it still.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just the state of Georgia or this county it's in. Like we need a tourist attraction.
Yeah. that's one of the theories, which is kind of like, yeah, maybe you guys just did it yourself. You know, it gets some, you know, stir up some tourism.
It's a well thought out story.
It's we're a well still thought talking story. About 40 years, like job yeah. well done then, if that's the case.
There's a mysterious man.
It's listed on there, things to see in Georgia. Like it's listed on there. Yeah. So
a mysterious man came to our local quarry saying he wanted to make a megalithic structure resembling like astronomical proportions of Stonehenge, but also putting on new Ten Commandments for a new earth order that would rise of the ashes of the... It's a great story. It really is.
We charged him several times what it should have been worth, and he still paid.
Yeah. And I'm with Zell here because it 100% doesn't make us, to me, it doesn't make sense that you would only build one. If there were more than one, like of these things, these monuments around the United States and be like, oh, okay, then it's some sort of like,
what if the
entire
fucking
nation spanning group or something like that, but there's only one in Alberton, Georgia.
What if the Alberton asteroid County, Georgia. What if the asteroid or the coronal mass ejection hit primarily in the Western Hemisphere in North America and incinerated the United States? There's no point in putting that there. Mm-hmm. Might as well have some backups.
What if there's a giant meteor strike and the ash piles up over these things, or, you know, or there is a giant mudslide or something, like something takes these things out. Why only build one?
Yeah.
Build more.
Point.
It's crazy. It's a good conspiracy because it's a thing that happened. You can go actually see it. There is no supporting evidence of the story. It's just like, this guy came, he paid money. We didn't know who he was. We built it. How he said, and it's pretty crazy. And so as like a, you know, we've kind of been steering clear of a little bit of conspiracy theories there lately because they get a little crazy. But this one's like, no, this is exactly what it is.
And it's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Like I would totally like keep an eye on because that guy, Martin Wyatt, the guy who is the president of the bank, he has those documents.
That's
and
what
maybe
I'm saying.
When he dies, I mean, perhaps right now he's got he's from a different generation. He's got a sense of personal duty and he signed, you know, the whole contract says that I will never, you know, he considered him and Mr. Christian, like through their correspondence, he considered them friends towards the end.
Yep.
You know, like every time that, you know, Mr. Christian would contact him when he was in town, he said, I'm going to be in Atlanta or something like that. And they'd go out to dinner. They'd have dinner and talk about whatever they would talk about the stones, I guess.
11 hoods.
See the stones.
But they talk, you know, they would talk about stones and other things, probably elements of their personal life, I suppose. But he never told them anything about the people that he worked with or that we know of. But he has that correspondence and those things that he was supposed to destroy. He has those in his house. So maybe that will come out. So, you know, it's something to watch and it's exciting. Maybe we'll find out something.
Keep your eyes peeled. Look. Georgia Guidestones, look him up.
Don't worry about storming Area 51. Storm his house.
Steal it. Yeah. He says it's in an old IBM computer case, like the back of his garage.
It's an old man. Don't storm his house. This guy's an old guy. It's an old man.
Don't storm it.
Stay away from his house.
Leave him alone.
No, he probably leaves the side door open, just go in and just have a little peek.
He sounds like a nice guy.
Just
like
write him a letter. Don't storm his house.
Yeah, don't storm his house. We don't condone any house storming.
I'm joking.
Yeah, he seems like a nice dude. Like, I'm just saying that, you know, it's... Yeah, it's definitely something to watch out for. Like if something happens to this guy at some point, because the guy who was the president of the company, the only other person to meet Mr. Christian had passed away recently, I suppose, like last couple of years. But he's the last surviving person to have actually met Mr. R.C. Christian. I would keep an eye on this one and maybe we'll get to come around. We'll get to come back to it. But he does say that all of the stuff that people say about the Georgia Guidestones, that it's been mislabeled or been alleged that it's some sort of satanic ritual, human sacrifice spot, or like Freemasonry, iconography, all this other shit. He's been said, like, I wish I could tell people about
the true
what it
meaning.
Really is. Yeah. You know, or I could show them the things that I have because
Freemasons
none of this stuff is
Freemasons. It's made of stone.
I don't think the Freemasons, because the Freemasons love putting that symbol on everything they do.
That's just true. The Freemason fraternity loves that symbol. It's on.
Yeah, like you go downtown Victoria, man. That Freemason symbol's on so many of the old buildings over there. So I don't think it was them, because I think they'd have their moniker on it. Their logo.
Maybe.
If we did it, we'd have our logo on it.
Right. Dead center.
Dead center.
We did this.
Yeah, when we build our own ATT Guidestones.
The Guidestones. The logo
all over that shit.
There's no conspiracy theory. This is exactly what it is.
Why don't we get into a little space news? This first bit of space news I'd actually gathered for Andrew. So I was going to say, Andrew, you can now officially go to space because scientists claim to have found the first known extraterrestrial protein in a meteorite. So he can now get his space protein. He doesn't have to miss out. He can keep the protein train going Because we all know what a protein bro Andrew is.
So how else do you think I got this beard going on? Fucking protein, buddy.
It is the first protein ever identified that didn't originate on Earth. That's pretty cool.
True. Yeah. That was very cool. Found they figured it was tucked inside a meteor that fell to Earth 30 years ago.
Yeah, they re-examined that meteorite, and they found that they're using through new types of kind of like sensor technology and things like that. They found out that they have different, not only are there certain components that are just by themselves, it seems that there are actually like they're in the process, or they have bonded with each other. So showing that they are, you know, not just singular molecules or you know, or particles, they're actually together forming types of proteins.
It's cool. So protein can survive burning through the atmosphere, hitting your planet, and then being examined 40 years later.
And then put in a little shaker cup.
I wonder if one of those, I wonder if those scientists had a little nibble. It's a little bite.
Put it in their protein shake.
Dude, they would hate your scientific methods.
If I was a scientist, I'd definitely chew on a little bit of an asteroid.
I've done it.
Because.
I fucking ate asteroids.
You might become the next Spider-Man.
It didn't happen. I've been waiting and nothing happened.
Well, that one took 30 years to find that
person. He lost his hair and got translucent skin. That's what happened.
He's a gray.
That's what happened. That's, you know what? I ate that at 20. I lost my hair at 24. Started losing 24. Yeah, maybe. Maybe that was my downfall.
I got a little humble brag for Canada here. Astronomy students in Canada discover 17 exoplanets new to science. These were discovered by astronomy PhD candidate Michelle Kunimoto. In 17 new exoplanets and one roughly Earth-sized world found in the Goldilocks zones.
Nice.
So that's a region where water, liquid water, could exist. So way to go, Michelle Kunimoto, out there keeping those eyes on the skies.
Did they say how far, how many light years these planets were?
1,000 for the one that's in the habitable zone, 1,000 light years away.
Jesus.
Put me in that cryogenic suspension. Yep. Book me one ticket. I'm good.
Let's go.
I'm ready.
One of the ones is humongous that she found.
Planet?
Like a Jupiter?
Oh, yeah. It's humongous. So I was like, how did no one find that before? It's ginormous. I think that's all I had. Did you guys have any space news?
No.
Nope. No. Just those couple. No. That's good. Let's do that.
Anything else? We got a theorite of the week.
Our theorite of the week this week is Hope Scott. Hope Scott, always active on our Facebook, always been around. She's in the chat right now, I believe.
She's on the YouTubes.
Yeah, posting us all her fun stuffs on Facebooks.
On the Facebooks.
Right. She posted the one of the...
it's a good one. It's a good one.
The whole Corona thing where everybody's quoting song lyrics and turning them in. So Neil Diamond, for example, touching hands, and CDC giving the good advice. Don't touch hands. Neil Diamond reaching out. No. CDC, please avoid that. Yeah. Neil Diamond touching you.
No.
Don't touch.
No.
No touchy.
Told you no. So. Yes. Thank you, Hope, and thank you for all your support.
Good job.
Hope Scott. Oh, she's watching the stream. Live. Get a live theorite of the week. Not too many times you get that. What are we at? We got an hour and 20. You want to do a
new
UFO?
Patreon.
You want to do me new Patreon?
Let's save it.
All right. We went a little long. We'll do some new Patreons. All right. How many people made up their own names today? Seems to be a common trend around here. Judging by the first few, good, solid, easy to read names, no struggles coming at you. Roberto, Cody Reed. I feel like this guy keeps unsubscribing and subscribing, maybe. Anyways. Christopher Boyalis. Maybe made up. I don't know. James. Kenneth Perry. Nolan Brumley. Chaz Ulrich.
That's a bad one.
Made up one? That was made up?
Yeah. You're making these ones up.
Nolan Brumley?
You started strong. You started strong with some real names, and then you hit Chad Brumley.
No, it's Nolan Brumley you think is made up?
Yeah. That's your first made up one.
What about Chaz Ulrich? Made up?
Yeah.
Legit. Chaz Ulrich.
That's a real name.
That's legit.
These are all fucking real names. Tell you what.
Yeah, we'll see.
Zachary Ward. Fernando Rosales. Austin Poole. Majin Vegeta. We got a real life Super Saiyan.
There it is. Super Saiyan.
Supporting the show. Super Andrew nice. Will be jealous.
Yeah.
Did I read it? Maybe I didn't read these last time. Jens, John, Marco, Camaro.
You read that.
Oh, yeah. We're past. We're past.
Those were some of your old bad ones you written down.
Those are old made up names that we read last time.
Marco, Camaro.
Yeah. All right.
Sal, whatever you say.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Do you got a band of the week?
Oh, band of the week. This week is a local singer-songwriter from Kelowna. His name's Dan Harden. The song is called Hard Row to Hoe.
Oh.
Hard Row to Hoe.
Hard Row to Hoe.
It's a metaphor for life, I imagine. But he's a local guy. This is his first song he's released as a solo artist. He's played in rock bands in Kelowna and area for a long time. But he's a beauty. He owns another recording studio here in town called The Record Room. And I told him I would put his song on the show today. So he just put it out, I think, a few weeks ago, and it has no plays. So push play and then repeat. Unlimited. You'll give him 5 cents if you stream it all night. You'll make five cents. Spotify, Dan Harden, Hard Row to Hoe. At end of the show, we'll play that.
And as before we go, if you want to keep the party rolling on Patreon, we always post our after hours. And thanks, everyone. And as we always say, keep those eyes on the skies.
Peace out.
Bye.
It's a hard road to hoe. If we're gonna get this garden to grow, we got love, lamb to show you. Honey, come on. Could you be mine? Would you drink wine with me? Take time just to let the days go by. Could you sleep in? Would you have kids with me? Stack bins when it's time to move our home. It's a hard road to hoe. If we're gonna get this garden to grow, we got love, let me show you. Baby, come on. Sit tight, would you be nice to me? And I'll find when we know we're both just tired. Could you just phone, would you come home?